Good morning, everyone. The lesson that I've got prepared this morning is, I think, will go very well with Brother Tim's lesson on encouragement last week, and especially the latter half of our Bible class this morning. So I hope you'll feel like you've benefited from it. I forgot to wire myself up, Tim, so I'll make sure I stay close to the mic. I'll try not to walk around too much because I want to make sure everybody is able to hear what I have to say. We're getting ready to go on vacation. We'll be gone about a week and a half or so. And we planned this, I don't know, I'm thinking it was in February or March, something like that. We marked out these dates so we could go. And for almost 20 years, we've been able to enjoy going on vacation this time of the year with Ben and Terry. And we're not able to do that this year, so we're going to really miss them. In fact, he can't fly anymore because he's got to worry about getting his lungs sick on an airplane from all the crud flying in the air in an airplane. So we're not actually going far away like we do sometimes. We're just going down to our little place in Missouri, and we're hoping they might get to come down and visit for a day or two. But I really appreciate the prayer, Brother John, on Ben's behalf, and I know he appreciates it also. So thank you for that prayer. He's going through a lot of changes right now. Well, Tim talked about encouragement, and we talked a lot about things related to my lesson in our Bible class this morning, talking about love and the way we should care for one another and those outside. And I want to continue with that thought. I'm sure you all remember 3 months ago to the day I was up here preaching. And I encouraged everyone here to memorize Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And for those of you that have done it, if you want to stand up and recite that for me, that'd be great. All right? Oh, man. You form a line right here. Okay? But if you remember, Galatians 5, 22 and 23 is the fruit of the Spirit. And you know, since I said that in my sermon, I have been constantly trying to go over that in my brain to try and make sure I got it right. And so if I say those verses and it doesn't jive completely with the way your Bible reads, well, it's just because you got a different translation. So don't worry about it. But remember, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, or long-suffering, depending on your translation, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, which we talked about this morning, and then self-control. And we're going to talk about some of those this morning. Love, joy, peace, patience. Love, joy, peace, love, joy, peace, love, joy, peace. You've probably seen that in people's homes before. When we were trying to get our house fixed up, we put a border in one room, and I think it says love, joy, peace. I don't know that there's a scripture on it, but I think it says love, joy, peace. And you think about how many things like that that exist in the world today that people don't even realize has a biblical source for it. But it's something that we should definitely recognize when we see. But I want us to start not in Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to just review that quickly that Brother Seth read for us. And Ephesians chapter 5, I'm actually going to begin in verse 8. Paul says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. I thought it was interesting that he uses that same wording, that same phrase. Instead of the fruit of the Spirit, he says the fruit of light. That the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And we're supposed to be reflecting that fruit of light. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And then down in verse 15, he says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. You know, again, that idea of walking is our way of life. Look carefully then at your way of life, not as unwise, but as wise. And so when you think about the fruit of the Spirit, the very first thing, again, is love. Love, joy, peace, patience. Love, joy, peace, patience. But that first one is love. And that's the key. Brother Amy, or Sister Amy brought it out in our Bible class this morning, that if you get that love part right, everything else is going to fall into place. It's so important for us to be loving people. And so I want you to ask yourself, when it comes to the love department of your life, how are you doing? And I'm not talking about the Eros type of love between a man and a woman. I'm talking about that brotherly love that we have for one another and for our fellow man. For some of us, it comes very naturally. For others, we really do have to work at it. We have to put an effort into it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We all know this is the chapter on love, and we're going to examine this a little bit as we talk about love being part of that fruit of light that is supposed to be reflecting off of us. He says there in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And of course, verse 13, so now faith, hope, and love abide these three. For now faith, hope, and love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. And if you remember earlier in that chapter, it says you can have the most unbelievable faith. Your faith can be such a great faith that you can move mountains because your faith is so great. But if it's not motivated by love, it's worthless. Love is the key. So ask yourself when you're thinking about how you reflect the light of Christ, how you reflect the light of the fruit of the Spirit before others, ask yourself, are you patient? Are you kind? And as John brought out in class today, not just to the brethren here, or not just to your family, but are you kind to complete strangers? Galatians 6:10 says, so then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Are you envious? If you are, then that's not the type of loving person you're supposed to be. Are you an arrogant braggart? Because, as he says here, love is not that way. Are you rude? You know, when you look at these, I couple patience and rudeness together. Because I know when I have found myself being rude, it was usually because of my lack of patience. And likewise, if you have a lack of patience, you end up being rude. And that is a very ugly characteristic that I should not have and that we should not have. So I want to encourage you to be that light of love and not the light of rudeness or impatience. Do you insist on having things your way? Are you irritable? Are you resentful? All these things are things that are not a reflection of the fruit of light. Do you rejoice with the truth? Look at 6b again. It rejoices. Love rejoices with the truth. Do you celebrate truth? That's what we should be doing. Do you patiently bear? Do you patiently believe? Do you patiently hope? Do you patiently endure? That can be a lot easier said than done. But as he says there in verse 13, love never ends. And let me add a word, love should never end. And our love for others should never end. I want to tell you a love story. Very briefly here. We mentioned Alan Baranovic, and I've talked about Alan before, as you might expect or might think, because I've talked about him a lot, and he would not appreciate me bragging on him, but I'm going to do it anyway. But he's a good man. He's the preacher where Aaron worships, and he has got liver disease, and I've mentioned this before. Now he's got congestive heart failure, and this poor man, he's younger than me, and it's just, I don't know where he gets his ability to do things, because he preaches almost every sermon for no pay, and he works full-time at Walmart as a merchandiser. So he's on his feet all day long. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I went down there and had Bible study with them on a Wednesday night, and Alan was teaching. And to give you an idea of just how weak he was that night, they kind of do like Dale does. He has a little portable podium he puts up there. And their tradition is, before they start Bible class, they create a prayer list. And then whoever has the prayer mentions everyone in the prayer. So they have a whiteboard over here. And Alan is so weak, he can barely speak. He's practically whispering. It's a little bitty congregation, but he has to use the mic because his voice was so weak that night. And because I lack patience, he says, who do we have on our prayer list? And so someone would shout out a name, and he would, with all of his energy, slowly make it over to the whiteboard, and it was everything he could do to write the name on the board. And then we all sat, and he slowly made his way back, and this happened 11 times. Now, you know how impatient I am, because I actually counted it, okay? And I'm thinking, this poor guy, he needs to just stay over there until the list is done, right? But that was the way he was used to doing it. And that night, because he was so weak, he was just slower than normal. And we ended up having a wonderful Bible study after he was done. Now, Aaron's geared more like me. He gets all that done before class even starts, so he can just move right into it. But that's not the love story. I've told you before that for years, Alan, when he takes a break at work, whether long before he was sick, he would sit on one of those benches there in the front of Walmart, and people would, you know, other people would come and sit down next to him, and he would always use that as an opportunity to try and reach the person with the gospel. So that's kind of where he would go, and he would try and reach out to people. Well, that's love in itself, but that's still not what I'm talking about. That day that he was teaching that Bible class, he was in the midst of working, and he was so exhausted, he just couldn't stand anymore, and he went and he sat on the bench. Now, if you've ever seen anyone with liver disease, you know how they look. They get that horrible yellowish color to them. Between that and his congestive heart failure, he just looked rough Wednesday night. And he went and he sat on the bench. And here's where the love comes in. He's sitting there just trying to get a little bit of strength so he could finish his job. And a complete stranger walks up to him, sits down next to him on the bench, and he says, you don't look very good. I don't know you, and you don't know me. But he said, you look like you need a prayer. Can I pray for you? And of course, Alan welcomed that prayer. He had done that for so many people all those years. And here a complete stranger walks up to him, recognizes the shape he's in, and offers to say a prayer for him. That's the kind of love we're supposed to have. How many times have we done that? You know, with the kind of work I do, I have an abundance of opportunities to do that kind of thing. And I've done a few, said a few prayers with people, but not a lot. But we need to be looking for those opportunities so we can show that kind of love, so the love of Christ can be reflected in us. Now, obviously that man saw Alan, saw the shape he was in, and realized here's a man that needs a prayer. What a wonderful example for us. In 1 John chapter 4, let's turn over there. 1 John chapter 4, Oh, I wanted to say one other thing. Some of you might remember this. Art Rowland used to eat at Hardee's for breakfast all the time. Art was one of our members here for many years. He preached for this congregation back in the 70s and early 80s, I think. And he was that same kind of man that would look for opportunities to encourage someone. And he was at a Hardee's having his morning biscuit or whatever. And here's some guy in a booth that was obviously not doing well. Art didn't know him. He went and sat with him. He asked the man what was wrong. The man was having some kind of problem with his hand or arm, causing him great pain. And Art offered to pray with him. And the man welcomed the prayer. So we can't assume that if we offer up that kind of thing for someone, that they're going to reject it. And if they do, well, that's fine. But we need to look for those opportunities. And I thought that was great that Art did that. When's the last time you prayed with a stranger? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. God is the source of love, and those who love, and I'm talking about in action, is born of God and has a relationship with God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. If you don't love, that damages that relationship with God. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. God's love was demonstrated to us by God when he sent Christ to save us, to give us life, as Brother A.C. referred to today. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. When others look at you, do they see God? Do they see the love of God within you? No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. If we love one another, God's love is made complete within us. Verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us. God taught us love and continually teaches us about love. And how does he do that? Of course, he does that through his word as we increase our knowledge of the word. But also, he teaches us about love from the love we receive from one another and that we observe among one another. So what do people see when they observe you? Do they see God? Do they see God's love? Do they see your love of others? And especially, do they see your love of the brethren? Verse 21, and this commandment we have found from, and this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Love, the fruit of God's Spirit. Well, as we mentioned earlier, the whole list of things and the fruit of the Spirit there in Galatians 5 hinge on love. When we think of joy, Philippians 1:25 teaches us we should have joy in the faith. When we think of peace, peace is related to the idea of tranquility and harmony. Romans 14:19 tells us to pursue what makes for peace. Patience. This is something I need to memorize. It's the ability to put up with pain or to put up with trouble or to put up with difficulty or hardship without complaint or ill temper. It's the ability to wait without frustration. Ephesians 4:2 tells us to patiently bear with one another. And then, of course, kindness and goodness, those are pretty self-explanatory, aren't they? Especially in this context of love. Faithfulness, the idea of remaining faithful in spite of the external or internal pressures that we may be receiving, or the external temptations or the internal temptations that are hammering us. Faithfulness is remaining faithful in spite of those. Gentleness. In 1 Corinthians 4:21, Paul speaks about the spirit of gentleness. And in Galatians 6:1, we're told to restore brethren with that same spirit of gentleness. How can you separate gentleness from love? Have you ever said to someone, that's a very gentle someone, but boy, they just aren't very loving? No, we don't say that. Or, man, they're so loving, but they are not gentle. No, those two go hand in hand. If you're loving, you're going to be gentle. And if you're gentle, you're going to be loving. And then you have this last one that really does bring it all home, the idea of self-control. We were talking about these verses down in Missouri with my grandkids a couple of months ago. In fact, I think I just had Carly with me, and she was 7 at the time. And we were going over these, and I said, well, what about self-control? What's that all about? And she looks at me with the big grin. She says, well, that's controlling self, Grandpa. And I said, you're right. That's right. And if you're motivated by love, you're going to be able to control yourself a lot better. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. I've got a few verses we're going to read together in Romans chapter 5, and then the lesson will be yours. Romans chapter 5, beginning verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Each of us that are saved, that have been baptized for the remission of our sins, we have been rendered not guilty by our faith in the Lord. And that should be bringing us peace. That should be helping us through the difficult times of life. Because of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Through Him, that is through Christ, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have grace through our faith, and that gives us hope. They're all connected. Verse 3, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. We're to rejoice in our suffering, and the result is we're going to endure. That's going to strengthen our character, and that's going to reinforce the hope that we have in Christ. Look at beginning verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Brought home very well today, Brother AC, in the lesson you gave. Since therefore we have now been justified, and remember, every time you see that word justify, I want you to think, found not guilty. That's what that means. You are justified. You were found not guilty by His blood. Much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. So because we are justified in Christ, we are found not guilty in Christ, we are not going to suffer the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Again, we're found innocent by the blood of Christ. We are saved by Christ's life. And then he gets into this subject of reconciliation. The idea of having our debt reconciled, our debt paid for, our sin washed away by the blood of Christ. Verse 11, more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Reconciliation through Christ. So I want you to ask yourself this morning, have you been reconciled? Has your debt been paid? Well, the debt's been paid, but have you freely received that debt? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you recognize the fact that you're lost in sin and that you need the blood of Christ to wash away those sins so that you might be saved, so that that debt would be paid, so that you can be rendered not guilty, so that you can have that hope? Have you accepted Christ's payment for your debt of sin? If you haven't, and you want to do that, you can do that this morning when we sing in just a moment. And if you are a Christian and you realize that, yes, you were reconciled, but you've got some things that need reconciling again because you haven't been living right and you want the Lord to forgive you of that, you can go to God in prayer. You can confess your sin to the Lord and ask him to forgive you of those sins. And as we always say in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he is faithful and just to forgive us of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you can do that from your pew. But if you want us to pray with you, to help you through that, we're here for you. The hymn we're about to sing is Bring Christ Your Broken Life. If you feel that your life is broken and you need us to pray for you, or you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, we encourage you to let us know that so we can help you with that this morning as we sing this hymn together. Let's sing.